So Parshas Vayechi. Parshas Vayechi. That has the entire Jewish history in here. It's interesting that Zevulun and Yisachar, on page 154, Zevulun and Yisachar, he gives a blessing to Zevulun, gives a blessing to Yisachar.
It's a very nice name, Zevulun.
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 What does Zevulun mean?
It's difficult to pronounce, but it has a very strong melody.
Why was he called
Zevulun? What is the Shoresh?
What is the Shoresh? Let's go to the video text.
Sevel.
Why was she called Zevulun? You got to go back to Parshas Vayetze to find out why she called him Zevulun. Let's go to Parshas Vayetze. And all the names are given by the mothers. Throughout Tanakh, it's the mothers, because women have a bino yeteira. They're more qualified to look at the child and identify the tafkid, which is contained in what?
In the name.
In the name, right? Which is contained in the name.
In the name. In the
so let's take a look at the names here on page. Yeah. Okay. Zevulun, Zevulun. At page 91. Page 91. Pasuk Yutes. Page 91. Yutes. Vatar od Leah. Leah became pregnant again. Vatelet ben Shishi liYaakov. She gave birth to what? A sixth son to Yaakov, right? Vatoyma Leah, and Leah said in Pasuk Kaf, Zavadani Elohim. What did Leah say in Pasuk Kaf?
Kaf, yeah.
Look how Unkelus translates. Ameres Leah, Yahav Shem Yoseli Chalak Tav.
Chalak
Tav. Zavadani Elohim, God has chalak. What does chalak mean? A portion.
Portion. Like
a portion. Chalek.
Yeah,
Unkel is kaf. You see, Vameres Leah Yahav Hashem Yosei Li Chalak Tav. God has given me a good portion.
Chalak.
You hear chalak tov. You see?
Chalek.
Yiddish look ben a chalek.
Yeah.
I got the portions of Daniel Kim. I see Zevet Tov. God has given me a good portion. Zevet Tov, Hapam, this time, Yizibeleni Ishi, this time, my husband will be what? Attached to me?
Ah, Sabal.
Yizibeleni Ishi.
We're back in the text now?
We're back in the text. My husband will be attached to me. Ki ladati lo shisho bonim. I have given birth to him, what? Six sons. Batikwa Shemoy Zevulun. So what does Zevulun mean? Chalak tav. Zevulun means a good portion. I get the portion. Chalak tav. This time my husband will be attached to me because I gave birth to him to what? To six sons. Okay. Kaf. Look at Rashi. So what does Zevulun got to do with Zeved? See, Rashi's puzzled. Rabbi Yaakov Goldman, Rashi's puzzled. Zeved means a good portion. Zevulun is not the same word as Zeved. So why didn't she call him Zevaduni? Why'd she call him Zevulun? That's what's bothering Rashi. You hear Yosef? What's bothering Rashi? What does Zevulun got to do with Zevet Tov? This is what's bothering Rashi. So look at Rashi Kaf, Zevet Tov, Kitargumoy. Rashi says, go to Unkelis. Unkelis says, Chalak Tav, a good portion. Yizbeleni. So Rashi's puzzled. Zevulun is not Zevet.
No, absolutely not.
So Rashi says, Yizbeleni Loshen Bet Zvul. Yizbeleni comes from the word Bet Zvul. The Beis HaMikdash is called Bet Zvul. In the Book of Kings, chapter 8, the Beis HaMikdash, Avram, is called Bet Zvul.
Mm-hmm.
What does Bet Zvul mean? A house for dwelling. Does God pay rent there?
No,
it's
no.
It's Matayim Thursday afternoon, why we're still mourning for the temple. Beit Zvul, a house for dwelling. Beis Modor. See, Rashi says, Beis Modor. A house for dwelling. Dira.
That's what Zevul means, dwelling?
No. Zeved means chalak tov. See, Rashi's puzzled. Zeved means good portion. So Rashi's puzzled. What has good portion got to do with zevulin?
But zevul means beit zevul.
Beit zvul, not zevul chas v'sholom. Zevul means garbage. Beit zvul means a house for dwelling.
A house
for dwelling, and it's a pasuk in Kings chapter 8 that the Beis HaMikdash is called a Bet Zvul, a house for God's dwelling. Says Rashi, he gives the French word Makay Migurim, Beis Mador. What does Beis Mador mean? In Manahibi we'd say Bet Dira. Bet Dira. Mador from the word Dira. What does Dira mean? An apartment.
Yeah, apartment, yeah.
So what does that mean? What did Mother Leah mean? May Atta, from now on, listen to this. Zevulin means a dwelling, an apartment. May Atta, from now on, says Mother Leah, Loitei Ike Dirosoi Eloimi. His Iker apartment will be not with Rachel, it'll be what? With me. Sheyeshli Bonim, I have supplied him with as many sons, Keneged Kol Noshov, as all of his other wives combined. Yeah. You hear why she called him Zevulin? Zevulin from the word Zvul, which means Dira, which means Iker residence, or we would say primary residence. This son is going to be responsible, says Mother Leah, that my husband's primary residence will be with me, not with the other wives, because I have supplied him now with as many sons
as
all the rest. Yet is Abraham, why she called him Zevulin? Zevulin means primary residence. Did you know that? Good thing we came today.
Primary residence.
That's what it means. Because Rashi's puzzled. Yeah. Zebed is not Zevulin. So the two in Yonim in the pasuk. Hashem is giving me a good portion. By giving me this sixth son, God has provided that my husband's Iker residence or primary residence will be what?
With her.
With me.
Yeah.
Not with the other wives.
Yeah,
because I have supplied him with as many sons like all the other wives combined. Keneged Kol Noshav. So Zevulin means primary residence. So how does so that's what his name means. Now how does Yaakov bless him? Now we know what his name means.
Yeah.
His name means primary residence. What kind of bracha did he receive? What kind of bracha did he receive?
That's a good question. What's the blessing? What he did?
What kind of blessing did Hashem did Yaakov give him? So let's go to the parasha. See.
The other question is, why for Yaakov it was so important to get the blessing what Yaakov, Yitzchak should give to Esau?
Page 154.
He didn't know what he will give. Kind of, he give him a house full of horses or donkeys. He doesn't. Why this blessing he wanted? Get?
Why did Yaakov want the blessing?
Because
he didn't want the blessing.
Rivka
wanted the blessing for him.
Yeah, but
because that was her tikkun for the chet of the Eitz Hadas. Remember we discussed that according to the Ari. By him getting the bracha, it is the tikkun for Chava's chet of the Eitz Hadas. Remember we said that Yaakov and Rivka were a Gilgal of whom. Remember we discussed that of Adam and Eve? Remember we just talked about that? So Yaakov wasn't so much, it was Rivka, knowing that her tikkun lays in the fact that she procures, is that the right word? Procures the bracha for whom?
For Yaakov.
That's her tikkun for the chet of the Eitz Hadas.
But she didn't know what bracha he will give.
Whatever it is, that's the tikkun. She was a Navi. Wasn't she a Navi? She knew what bracha. Rivka was a Navi, right? All the mothers were Naviot. The Gemara says that all of the matriarchs of Israel were prophetesses.
Mm-hmm.
Page 154.
Mm-hmm.
Zevulin. What kind of blessing did Zevulin get? On 154. Zevulin lechoif yamim yishkon. Zevulin will dwell by the sea, by the sea, by the beautiful sea.
No.
Zevulin lechoif yamim yishkon. Zevulin will dwell by the seashore.
No.
You see that? Vahu lachof aniyot. He will be a port, a beach,
yeah,
or a port for ships. The Yarkosai al Sidon, and his territory, his Rashi, Unkala says his tchum. What does tchum mean? His border will extend all the way to Zidon. That's a great battle took place there in Lebanon, 1982 war. That Lebanon belongs to Zebulun. Yarkosai and his gvul, his tchum, his border will extend all the way to Sidon. Sidon is a city today
in Lebanon.
In Lebanon, look how old the city is, at least 3,300 years old, more. This is going back to 3,800 years ago. So, wow.
Because in the north there is Mate Asher, is a little bit more in the south. It's just Akko, Haifa, there is.
So Zebulun's territory extends all the way to Lebanon, Sidon.
Yeah.
So what kind of bracha is that? He's going to be a port for ships?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of bracha is that?
Ah, when you have ships, you can make
business.
Business.
Look at Rashi Yud Gimel. See Rashi Yud Gimel?
Yud Gimel here, yeah.
Zebulun Lechof Yamim. Zebulun will be a port, a beachhead for, or he will dwell on the seashore. Al chof yamim tia arzo, his land will extend to the seashore. Chof kitargumoy sfar, border. Vuyia motzi tadi al chof aniyot, he will always be found tadir. What does tadir mean? Steady. Al chof aniyot. What does chof aniyot mean? A port, a beach for ships. Bimkom hanamal, shaniot mevio sham pragmatia. Ships will bring their schoire, merchandise. Shahoy is Zebulun osek bepkarmatia. Zebulun was osek in business, trader. Umamtzi mozoin the shevet Yisachar, and he will support. He will support Yisachar. Vehem oskin b'Torah, and the Yisacharites, they're going to sit in the kailo. And who's going to support them?
Zebulun.
Who sha'amer Moshe? This is what Moshe Rabbeinu said in his blessing. Smach Zebulun b'tzeisecha. Zebulun, rejoice in your going out on your business ventures. V'yisachar b'halecha, and Yisachar, you shall rejoice in your Torah tents. Zebulun yoytze pragmatia. Zebulun went out to do business. V'yisachar oisik b'torah b'holim, and Yisachar occupied himself in the tents of Torah. So they made a partnership between them. Yisachar was the Torah scholar, and Zebulun was the businessman, and they made a partnership that Yisachar would be supplied and supported by Zebulun, and Zebulun would receive half of the Torah schar. Good business, no? So that's the bracha for Zebulun.
So it looks like Yisachar had a special talent to learn.
Right, Yisachar.
Zebulun Yisachar. Asbani.
Not everyone can be businessman. Not everyone can be a Torah scholar. You have to utilize, you'll say, the talent that Hashem gave you.
Thank you.
Right.
Yeah,
everyone can serve Hashem in their own way.
Yeah.
Everyone has a unique, special gift and talent that Hashem gave him, and that you have to utilize and channel it to serve Hashem. So Zebulun did it his way. Yisachar did it his way.
Yeah.
There are many ways to reach Hashem. No one can say my way or the highway. Right?
My way or no way. Either.
My way or no way, right? No one can say my way or the highway. Okay. So that's the bracha for Zebulun.
Yeah, well, very good.
Right? What's the bracha for Yisachar? Pasuk Yudal, Yisachar chamor gorem. Yisachar is like a wide-boned donkey. Roveitz Beina Mishpasayim, resting between the borders. What does that mean? Look what Rashi says.
He's quiet.
Why is Yisachar compared to a donkey? What kind of compliment is to compare a Torah scholar to a donkey?
A donkey two steps ahead and one step back.
But so what's the Milo? Why does Yaakov Avinu compare? Ephraim is saying, Rashi doesn't say what you're saying, but you're saying very good. It's very hard to become a Torah scholar. Yeah. Sometimes it's like a donkey, backwards and forwards. You know, you learn and you forget. A donkey goes forwards and backwards. Yeah. Excellent what you're saying. A person learns and he forgets, yeah, he becomes frustrated. Mm-hmm. Don't give up. Eventually a donkey makes it. Eventually you become a Torah scholar. But it doesn't come easy. It's like a donkey moves. Mm-hmm. It's forwards and backwards. You learn, you forget. You learn, you forget. Don't become frustrated. The donkey finally does get there. He's saying excellent. But Rashi gives another reason why the Torah scholar is compared to what? Excellent what you're saying.
To a donkey.
To a donkey. Rashi doesn't say that.
No,
but saying
you,
very good.
You teach us that about the donkey. I didn't know that the donkey goes back and forward.
But that's the way a donkey, yeah, forwards and backwards. Rashi gives another reason. Why should the Torah scholar Avraham be compared to a donkey? Look at Rashi Yudalit. Yusacha chamol garem. I mean, you have to know this. Your son is going to ask you, Shabbos, Daddy, why does Yaakov compare a Talmud Chacham to a donkey, Daddy? Is that a compliment? What are you going to say? You have to.
Yeah, good. For
to know.
For us, a donkey.
You have to know. So you have to learn Rashi.
Well, I'm going to say, well, that's fine. I told us.
That's good, but you have to say what Rashi told you too.
We haven't gotten it.
Let's get to Rashi. Socha chamor gorim, chamor balat somot. The donkey has many wide bones.
Baal atzamot.
A donkey's body is built to carry a heavy load. So what's the metaphor? Sovel ol Torah. Yisachar is able to bear the heavy burden of what?
Torah.
Of the Torah. Kechamor chazak. Like a powerfully built donkey. Shematin and Oisoy Masa Kaved, you can lay a heavy load on the back of the donkey and he's able to bear it. So too, Yisachar, the Torah scholar, is able to bear the heavy yoke of what?
Of
Torah. So it's a great compliment.
Got a question. Yosef is not a donkey?
No, Yosef, what is Yosef called? Let's see. No, Yosef is the ox. Don't mix me up. Now, Yosef, here he's not called an ox. Where is he called an ox? In Zois HaBracha. See, Yaakov doesn't call him an ox. Yaakov, take a look. Moshe Rabbeinu in Zois HaBracha. What does he call him? In page 643, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Moshe Rabbeinu calls Yosef HaTzadik Bechor Shoro. Bechor Shoro, the firstborn ox. So Yaakov doesn't call him an ox, but Moshe Rabbeinu on page 643 compares Yosef HaTzadik on page 643, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Bechor Shoro Hodolo. That Yosef is the Bchor. What do you mean the Bchor? He was the Bchor to his mother. Wasn't he the Bchor to his mother? Wasn't he the Bchor to his mother?
Yeah.
But here Bchor doesn't mean Bchor because Reuben was the Bchor actually.
Yeah.
So here Rashi says the word Bchor means Gedula Umalchus. Bchor can also mean greatness and kingship.
Yeah.
So Yosef was a king and also refers to Yeshua ben Nun. Yeshua ben Nun was the king of the Jews. And who does Yeshua ben Nun come from? Yosef HaTzadik. And he had Koach Kishor. He was able to conquer 31 kings. Yosef is compared to an ox, a powerful ox. It's speaking about his descendant, Yeshua ben Nun, who had tremendous strength, like a powerful ox, to able to conquer 31 kings of Canaan. Who conquered them? Yeshua ben Nun, who's a descendant of whom, of Yaakov? Yes. Of Yosef HaTzadik.
That I didn't know, that he's from...
It's a good thing you came today. Yeah,
that he's from Yosef.
Right?
Ben Nun from Yosef, he had the strength.
So speaking about Yeshua ben Nun here, says Rashi, he had the strength of an ox and also the beautiful horns. Horns is a symbol of what? Again, of power and strength to defeat the 31 kings of Canaan. 31 kings of Canaan, yeah.
That's why the eagle was a cow, and the ox, because it was something to do with Yosef and the ox.
Yeah, they threw on
Okay.
They were duplicating something with Yosef, the ox.
Bechor Shoro. No, they were duplicating the ox in the Ma'aseh Merkava, the Ramban says. Mm-hmm. In the mystical vision that the Yecheskel saw, one of the malachim looked like an ox. So they were duplicating that. So it wasn't outright idolatry, even though...
No, they had...
Their noble intentions, but the road to hell is paved with noble intentions. They were duplicating the ox and the Maaser Merkavah, says the Ramban. One of the malachim in the mystical vision of the divine chariot, Avram, one of the malachim looked like what? An ox, remember?
Oh.
Remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I also read a commentary about Yosef and the ox and how that plays into it. There's a whole thing
about
that.
That.
I'm trying to remember.
All right.
Yeah,
but Yaakov doesn't compare him to that.
Yosef and Tavis was in the water and they got him out through a
place. Oh, the body. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ale Shor, ah. In order to get the body to swim to the surface. He quoted this pasuk on page 155. On page 155, where Yaakov blesses Yosef. Take a look. Page 155, pasuk Chavet. You with me on this? Bein Paros Yosef. Rabbi Yaakov, how do they translate verse 22? Chapter 49, verse 22. How do they translate that?
A son of grace is Joseph.
A son of grace. Go ahead.
Son of grace to the eye, girls stepped up to gaze.
Go ahead.
Good looking guy.
Yeah. How do they translate Ale Shur? How do they translate Ale
Shur?
Yeah.
Well, they stepped up to gaze.
Ale Shur, they stepped up to gaze. What? How do they translate Bonoi Sa'ada?
A son of grace.
Go ahead.
A son? Yeah.
A son of grace,
A son of grace is Joseph. A son of grace to the eye. Girls stepped up to gaze. That's it.
Stepped up to the plate?
The girls of Egypt would step up along the wall to gaze at Joseph's beauty.
Okay. Now, you see the word Ale Shur? Literally, yeah. Ale Shur means rise up, ox.
Oh.
So Yosef was, remember they sank his coffin in the bottom of the Nile River? Remember the story, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu went to the Nile and he said, Ale Shur, arise you ox, the time has come for us to what?
Mm-hmm.
Skedaddle.
Mm-hmm.
So miraculously, Yosef, the coffin what? Swam to the surface of the bottom of the, because Ale Shur, arise you ox.
Mm-hmm. It was something to do with him and this, and why they did it with the ox, because they needed
Ale Shur. Yeah.
Strength or something for guidance. Since they were losing Moshe, they needed someone like Yosef.
Right.
And
yeah.
The whole reason why they were saying.
Now, another interpretation, Ale Ayin means above the evil eye. See the words Ale Ayin? Literally, the word in the text, look at Pasuk Chav Bet, Ben Poras Yosef, a graceful son is Yosef, Ben Chain, a graceful son, Ben Poras, a graceful son, Ale Ayin. Ale Ayin literally means what? Above the eye.
The eye.
Above. Ale means above, Ayin means the eye. What it means above the eye? So one interpretation is that he has the bracha that he is above the evil eye. The evil eye will not affect him. Mida keneged mida. Because remember when the Esav came and all the children bowed down? Yosef HaTzadik protected his mother. He's a tall boy.
Yeah.
That Esav shouldn't put the evil eye on his beautiful mother.
Oh.
Rashi says it back there, right? Oh. So therefore he was zoiche to the bracha that he will be what? Above the evil eye.
Oh, yeah.
He will be above. The evil eye will not affect him. Ale Ayin.
How much older is he than Ben?
How much older? I don't know exactly. He was older. I don't know how much older he was.
Is that really an issue with this evil eye? I heard from a woman in Mea Sherim. She has this lead, liquid lead, and she let it drop into some liquid, and then she tells you how many evil eye you have. And what is that for a hocus pocus? I heard about
it. It's like a metal thing. She melts it.
Let's say she tells you you have three evil eyes. What do you do then? All those things?
No, when she does it, she tells you.
Yeah, like she waves it over your head like this.
Yeah, but it's not,
Well, step for the whole question.
Don't worry about it.
No, but the Jewish people speak about a lot about the evil eye.
Yeah.
So there must be something.
No, I have the same thing every time I have big.
Even here, we just read it somewhere.
Well, this is why Yaakov sent his sons through the 12 different gates.
They should get the evil eye, that's right. Rashi says that. Why he sent them through the
gates. You're talking about when Joseph's tomb, coffin was raised up from the Nile.
Right, Ali Shur.
I think it's in Sota.
Gemara Sota, correct?
Yeah, I was just reading that.
Gemara Sota, you're right?
Yeah, where Sarah
Pasosha pointed to the...
Sarah
didn't know where the coffin was.
Yeah, Sarah.
She said it's somewhere in the Nile River. Look for him.
Yeah, and she pointed out
that
this iron coffin floated
to the... Floated to the top, right.
Sota.
Yeah, but the
that's why Jews want to keep a low profile. You don't want to see
right.
a lot.
Right. You lock me on. You get it. Rashi says it. Rashi says it back in Vayishlach. Because Yosef at Tzadik. You want to see it inside?
Yeah, but
okay. Page 104. You go back to page 104, Pasuk Zion, where all the mothers and the children are bowing down to Esau, humiliating themselves. Yeah. Remember, page 104, Pasuk Zion. Vatigash gam Leah v'yodeha. First it says Leah approached, and then her children, v'yishtachav, when they bow to Hillary. V'yacha nigash yosei v'rocha yishtachav. By Leah it says, first Leah approached, and then the children. But when it comes to Rachel, it says first Yosef approached, and only then Rachel. Why does the Torah change the orders? Look at Rashi Zion, Yosef. Rashi Zion on the right column, 104. Nigash Yosef Rachel, Bukulon, by all the rest, Imois Negoshas Ifnei Habanim. The mothers approached before the children. Abel Barachel, but by Rachel, Yosef Nigash Lufanel. The Torah makes a point to point out that by Rachel, unlike the others where the mothers approached first, here Yosef approached before his mom. Why? And only then did his mom approach. Omar, he said, Imi Yafas Toar, my mother is beautiful. She's Miss Universe. Shema Yitla Boy Eino Oto Rasha. Perhaps that wicked uncle of mine will put the evil eye on mom. Emot Kenegda. I will stand in front of a Va'akveno, and I will prevent him milastakelbo. He should gaze on her. He was a tall boy. Mikan, from here, Zocha Yosef Lebirkas Aleayin. Therefore, Joseph was Zoiche to the Bracha of what? Aleayin, on page 155. That he is above the evil eye. You prevented your mother from getting the evil eye, protecting her from the wicked gaze of Esav, so you yourself, Mida Keneged Mida, will be what?
You get back this Bracha.
Above the evil eye. Aleayin literally means above the eye. Pretty amazing.
But
Mida Keneged Mida.
Why Esau should put an evil eye on his mother?
What do you mean? Esau is a rasha.
Yeah. Maybe
he sees a beautiful wife of Yaakov. He's jealous.
Yeah.
So put the evil eye on her. I put a spell on you.
It's jealousy.
Evil eye comes from kina, envy, jealousy. Yeah. That can incite loyaleinu, the evil eyes. You got to keep a low profile. So therefore, Joseph Atzadik protected his mom from the wicked gaze of Esav, so he was protected. Aleayin. Kapish? Comprende?
So you see, there is something on this evil eye story. Even you don't believe in
there is,
hocus
there
pocus.
Is, yeah.
There is hocus pocus, and you see... You
go to my website, I have a column there. Is the evil eye for real? You go to www.rabbisprecher.com. And you go to menu, evil eye, I tell you the whole story there. It's free. You just right. punch in.
Yeah. Two things. Right. Don't get yourself in the where you're seen.
Yeah.
Two, don't believe it.
And don't flaunt and don't brag and don't boast of what you have in front of others who do not have what you possess.
And don't believe you're going to get it. Don't believe it. What you fear is what's going to come on you.
It's amazing that Rashi says the same thing that he says back. And Rashi never repeats himself. I'm puzzled. Rashi never repeats himself. And here he does. Back in I repeat myself. Rashi doesn't. In Vayishlach, Rashi already told us why Yosef was zoicha to the bracha of Aleayin. And here he finds it necessary to repeat it again. I'm puzzled, Rabbi Yaakov. I don't know why. Look at page 155. Well, Rashi repeats again what he said back in Vayishlach. Let's go to page 155.
Yeah,
in the middle of the Rashi.
It's very interesting.
Yeah. If you look at the left column on 155, I'm counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines from the top in the left column. Yosef, you with me on this?
Yeah.
Page 155.
No.
Left column, count down 7 lines from the top. 1, yeah. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Lelechet. Lelechet with Nebenei and Lishtachavois. By all the others, the mothers bowed down before the children when it came to humiliate themselves in front of Esau. Uberachel Ksiv, Avram read, the Berachel Ksiv.
Nigash
Yosef Rachel Ishtachavu.
Reverses the order. Here Yosef approached first and then Rachel and bowed down. Why? Rashi repeats what he said back in Vayishlach. Omar Yosef, Yosef said, Rosha Hazeh, this wicked Esav. You following me? Can you show him the place, please?
Yeah, I got it.
Rosha Hazeh, this wicked Esav, Einoy Rama, has a very haughty eye. Another way of saying evil eye. Shema Yiten Einov Be'imi. Perhaps he will put the evil eye on my mommy. Yotzelofaneha. He went in front of her. Vishirbeb Kamosai Lechasoisa. He stretched himself to the full height to cover her up. Behu Sheberche Aviv. And therefore his father blessed him. Bein Parot. You are a graceful son. Higdalta atzmacha, Yosef aleayin shel Esav. You protected your mother from Esav's evil eye. The tikach zechita glegedula. Therefore, you what?
You get a special.
You're getting a special blessing of greatness that you will be above the evil eye.
You will be above the evil
eye. So here Rashi adds a little bit. Not only above the evil eye, you also get greatness and rulership. See, back in Vayishlach, he only said you're above the evil eye. Here he adds, besides being immune from the evil eye, you and your tribe will what?
Be immune from the evil
eye. But besides that, he said that already. He's adding over here. He's adding, Avram, that. Do you know the kingdom of Israel was called Ephraim? You know that? When Shlomo HaMelech died and the kingdom split, the 10 tribes, what were they called? Ephraim. Who's Ephraim? Yosef. Why did they give their name to the 10? Just because of this. Because you protected your mother from the evil eye, Rashi's adding, therefore you were zoiche that you and your tribe will attain greatness. Ephraim, who comes from Yosef, he gave his name to the northern kingdom. The 10 tribes of Israel were not called Israel. What were they called?
Ephraim.
Why? Rashi says why. You protected mom. Not only will you be immune from the evil eye, you will attain greatness, that the kingdom of Israel will be called Ephraim. Who's Ephraim? Yosef. Ephraim is Yosef. Shevet Yosef became Ephraim. There's no Shevet Yosef, is there? Shevet Yosef became Ephraim and Menashe.
It was split.
So now we have, why did Ephraim merit to give his name to the kingdom of Israel? Rashi says why. Because Yosef Atzadi protected his maw from the evil eye, so not only did he become immune from the evil eye, he was zoichet to greatness, that he will give his name through his son to the entire kingdom of Israel. For centuries, the kingdom of Israel was known as what?
Ephraim. Why did...
Isn't that amazing?
When Yaakov called Yosef and he blessed Menashe and Ephraim,
Go ahead, what?
He said, these two are mine.
Go ahead,
like,
go ahead.
They're not your sons anymore. They're my sons.
No, it didn't mean that.
But
he's not kidnapping them.
It just said any other sons you have are yours, but these are
meaning
what is
that you are like an Av. Your children will become tribes. The children of the other Shvatim, they become tribes?
No.
You are unique that your children will become tribes unto themselves. Didn't happen to any other brother. Right?
No.
But Yosef was Zoyche, that his sons became independent tribes of their own.
Could that be connected with the fact...
You're asking why?
Could that be... Yeah, but I have a theory.
Why? Go ahead.
That they were the only ones that were not born of Canaanite women?
Oh, you're saying good.
They were born from Usnat.
They were born from Usnat. Ooh, I like what you're saying. All the others were born from Canaanite women.
Right.
And they were born from Usnat.
It's a machlokes when they're born with Canaanite women, right?
Why is it a machlokes? They married their half-sisters, all right? They had more than one wife.
I sing.
Whenever there's a machlokes, we make a big mistake. When we think there's a machlokes, we think one guy is wrong. No, it's a big mistake. I keep repeating it. Mm-hmm. When Rashi brings the two Tanoim, one says that they married their half-sister, mm-hmm. and the other Tana says that they married what?
Canaanite.
They are not arguing. They married their half-sister and they also married Canaanite women. Every machlokas in the Talmud is like that.
They're both right.
They're both right. It's speaking about different circumstances. So we make a big mistake. Able to able to develop.
Couldn't you say that with all the other grandchildren, though? Because these were grandchildren to Yaakov. All their grandchildren were...
The other grandchildren were born of Canaanite women. Us not, yeah, I don't know. But the Torah doesn't give that reason. You're giving a reason. The Torah does give a reason why Ephraim and Manasseh were singled out to become independent tribes. The Torah gives a reason. Let's go see what the Torah's reason is.
It's not because Yosef became the Bahol.
Well, that's where the bracha is.
Well, let's see.
You're giving the bracha Friday night through them.
Ah, that's interesting. Why we mention these boys?
That's right.
Why mention? It's the same idea. The Torah gives the reason. Take a look at Pasuk Kaf on page 151.
151 Kaf.
Yeah.
Kaf.
Pasuk Kaf.
Yeah.
The Torah does give. Actually, Rashi gives the reason. Maybe the Torah gives the reason. Page 151. He blessed them. B'chol Yivarech Yisrael. In you will Israel be blessed. Leimor. Yisimcha lehim kefraim u'kemenashe. May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. By Yosef et Ephraim lifnei Manasseh, and he placed Ephraim before Manasseh.
So complicated.
So what does this pasuk mean? Look at Rashi. Mm-hmm. Look at Rashi. Maybe Rashi will answer your question. Mm-hmm. Rashi kaf.
Ben Yevarech.
B'cha kaf. You have it, Aaron. B'cha Yevarech Israel. What do you mean? In you? Who is you?
In Joseph.
No.
In the children.
In the children.
Yeah.
In you. In your children will Israel be blessed. What does that mean? You follow me, Rashi?
Yeah.
Habol avorech hezbanav. When you come to bless your children Friday night, how do you bless them? Yivarchem bevachosam. You bless them with their blessing. Vayoyme ish libnoi. And a person says to his child, Yisimcha lakim kefraim u'menashe. May God make you, not like Reuven and Shimon, not like Yisachar and Zebulun, but may God make you like what? Ephraim and Manasseh.
Yeah.
Look at the next Rashi. Yosem et Ephraim, b'b'chorosoi. He placed Ephraim in the bracha lifnei Manasseh, even though he was older.
This is amazing.
He placed Ephraim in the bracha before Manasseh.
No.
Lagdim oibit golim, chlukas anashim, which flag traveled first? Wagon train. When they moved out, who traveled first?
Probably Ephraim.
Ephraim. Who brought the Chanukah Sanasiyim first? Ephraim. And Ephraim gave his name to the entire kingdom of Israel. So why were they singled out? Why were they singled out? Let's see. Let's see if the Torah says so. The Torah doesn't give a reason, right?
That was like a, wasn't that considered like a busha that the kingdom of Israel broke off though?
Why is Rabusha? Achi Ashaloni, read the text in Kings 1. Achi Ashaloni, you know who he was? He was the Rebbe of Yerovam ben Nevat. He was a great Nabi. He was the Rebbe of Eliyahu HaNavi. He is the one that told Yerovam ben Nevat to what? Break on through to the other side. Yerovam ben Nevat could have been as big as King David, you know that? Could have.
Could have.
They say if it's a stiff.
Would have.
Achi Ashaloni was the Rebbe of Yerovam ben Nevat from Shevet Ephraim. He told Yerovam, Hashem wants you to break away with the 10 tribes and start your own independent kingdom.
Really?
You could be as great as King David. If it's a stiff, who says that? Well, he failed. But anyway, it was authorized by Achi Ashaloni, the great Nabi.
He was from David?
Who?
The one that could be his great.
No, Yerovam was Shevet Ephraim.
But it said it's been given to David.
Lo yosef Shevet me Yehuda ad ki yoveshiloi. It could have been what? It could have been David with David. Ramban speaks about that. David would have been the king of Yehuda and Benjamin. And the other 10, that would have been these two rulers. The kingship could have remained with David and Shevet Yehuda. And Ephraim would have been what? On the other 10. There's a plan A and there's a plan B. Remember, we keep speaking about that. Plan A was that Yerovam should be the king of the Aseres HaShvatim, and Yehuda, David, should be king what? On Yehuda and Binyamin. But Yerovam blew it. But he became a Rasha. This great tzaddik became a Rasha. They say power corrupts.
Oh, yeah.
And absolute power corrupts absolutely. He was a great man. But the power destroyed him. Became an egomaniac. Great people have great egos. Because he was so great, the bigger you are, the harder you fall. That is so true. What a wasted potential, Yerovam ben Nevat. He could have been as great as King David.
Can I respect him?
Go ahead.
Why was Yosef praised for protecting
his mom
from the gaze of Esav? Then, what was it, Yaakov was criticized for not exposing his daughter to Esav, remember?
But not giving his daughter, that Esau should want to marry her.
Yeah.
Because she might ruin him.
Yeah.
Or he might ruin her. What?
Yeah. But he did the right thing, right?
He did the right thing, protecting his mother. His mother's married, right?
Right.
Dina wasn't married.
Yeah, but still, Esau probably would have destroyed Dina. No?
Why destroy? Maybe he would have married her.
And then
he'd change him, make him a Baal Teshuva.
Maybe she
would have made him a Baal Teshuva.
But he could have made her a Rasha, right?
Yeah, but usually he follows the wife. She was so strong spiritually, she would have turned him around. He would have become a Baal Teshuva, gone to Esha Torah. Maybe the Aspa Yeshiva. And Yaakov was punished because he didn't allow Esav the chance to do Teshuva. Dina was so righteous that she could have turned him around.
She was bad, good. Why did she end up doing that stuff?
What bad? Wasn't bad. She got kidnapped.
She
got kidnapped and raped. Don't blame the victim. Don't blame the victim.
Yeah.
No, you don't blame the victim.
Talks that she was out in the town like in a way she shouldn't have been.
Well,
she went out on the street.
So she went out. So
that's not.
That fair. Doesn't. Don't blame the victim.
No, but it says that she was punished for that. Okay. Nothing done that by accident.
Okay. But anyway, why is Ephraim and Manasseh singled out? So the Mephoreshim say as follows. Why don't you say Yisim Chalakim ke Ruvain v'Shimon? Yisim Chalakim ke Dan v'Naphtali? The Mephoreshim explain that they cannot be the role model because Yaakov's own sons, his own sons were what? Affected by kina and sinah and envy. Machlokis. Ephraim and Manasseh, even though Manasseh was the Bchor, and he had to play second fiddle to Ephraim, there was no envy and strife. Unlike Yaakov's own sons who wore riven, is that the right word? Riven, by strife and envy.
Yep.
and jealousy. Ephraim and Manasseh, despite the fact that Manasseh was the older, and Ephraim was the leader, and Manasseh had to play second fiddle, unlike his uncles, there was no strife or envy. And therefore, they deserved to become tribes. Because they did not display the envy and the jealousy and the strife that their uncles displayed. So Yaakov rewarded them with tribehood.
I heard another reason also.
Okay, 69 other reasons. I'm giving you one reason.
I heard that because...
And therefore they became the role model for blessing. Because their uncles couldn't be. Their uncles were riven by strife and envy and jealousy.
I heard that.
Go ahead.
They grew up in Mitzrayim, the most corrupt
place
you could.
Right, and despite the fact...
Despite that fact...
They remained true blue.
Right.
Very good.
And so, since we've been expelled from the country for all these thousands of years, you want your children, your grandchildren, to have those same qualities. That you're not affected by all the gashmias.
There really is nothing, no description of how they were raised.
Well, the Medrash says that they remain true blue, despite being raised in Las Vegas. Sin City, they remain loyal to Yaakov's tradition.
But it doesn't say, I mean, it doesn't describe that Yaakov talked in Torah.
That's why you have the Gemara. A lot of things don't say in the Chumash. A lot of things don't say. It doesn't say the Chumash, the Tefillin are black and square.
Yaakov used to teach them when they were young, too. He used to have them with them all.
They remained loyal despite...
But that's not in the Torah, that's all.
That's the Torah Shemal Peh.
Yeah, yeah.
We got two Torahs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he put Ephraim before Manasseh. Look at Pasuk Chof Aleph. Vayoyme Yisrael el Yosef. Yisrael says to Yosef, Hine Anochi Meis. Behold, I die. But don't worry, God doesn't die.
Mm-hmm.
God lives forever. God will always be with you.
Mm-hmm.
And God will return you to the land of what? Of your fathers.
Yeah,
this is Yaakov saying to Yosef. Pasichov bet, Vani and I, says Yaakov, Nesati lecho Shechem. I am giving you the city of Shechem. Achat alachecho. One portion above your brothers. Ashilokachti miyadu amori, that I captured from the hand of the PLO. Becharbi ubekashti, through my sword and my bow.
Yeah.
What does Yaakov mean over here? Rashi's puzzled.
Yeah.
What do you mean? I captured Shechem with my sword and my bow, and therefore I'm giving it to you as an extra portion above your brothers.
Yeah, Shimon and Levi captured the city.
So that's Rashi's question.
Yeah,
Shimon and Levi captured Shechem. What is Yaakov saying? I captured it through my sword and my bow. So that's why Rashi is going to comment over here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, with me or against me on this?
Mm-hmm.
Why is Yaakov giving Yosef an extra city? Won't that start the envy business again, Avram? That's what's puzzling Rashi. I mean, what are you doing again here? What are you doing? So Rashi is explaining what Yaakov's intention was. See Rashi Chav Bet or not?
Why
it will not ignite a new wave of envy. It will not. Rashi will explain why not. Look at Rashi Chav Bet.
All the Shvatim had many cities, but
he is getting an extra portion above. Why is he doing that? Look at Rashi Chav Bet. 151 on the right column. You with me or again? Vanina sati lecha. Why am I? Lifi sha'ato tereach lis'asek b'karasi. Because you are busy occupying yourself with my burial. You hear? So therefore, v'gam ani nesati lecha nachala shetekoveh bo. You are busy with my burial. Remember, he made them swear that what? He's going to take them to the Maros HaMachpelah. So therefore, I am giving you an inheritance where you will be buried. Where is Yosef HaTzadik buried? Shechem. Shenemar, v'atzmos Yosef v'ashehel v'bnei Yisrael v'mitzrayim kovru b'shechem. And the bones of Joseph, which the Jewish people have brought up from Egypt, says Joshua 24, they buried in Shechem. So there's no reason to be jealous, brothers. This is just a proper reward for Joseph. Joseph is busy occupying himself with the burial of Yaakov in Hebron. It's only right that he should receive a city where he was going to be buried. Midah keneged midah. Look at the next Rashi. Shechem achat alechecho. You have it? Look at inside. Shechem achat alechecho. Shechem, one portion above your brothers. Shechem mamash. The actual city of Shechem. He ti alecho chelik echot yeteo alechecho. This will be your portion, Joseph. Your portion more over and above of your brothers. Okay. Now what does mean Bechar B'Bekashti? See the next Rashi? Rashi is asking Ephraim's Kasha. Ephraim is asking, Shimon the Levi killed out Shechem. Why is Yaakov taking credit?
Credit for the conquering of the city. Yeah.
Yes, the Kasha.
Yeah.
So well, Rashi deals with it. Bechar B'Bekashti, with my sword and my bow. Says Rashi, Keshaharugu Shimon the Levi, et Anshe Shechem. See, the Torah doesn't tell us this. It's Torah Shabbat.
Yeah.
When Shimon the Levi killed out the people of Shechem, Niskansu kol sviv Hashem lizdavek lahem, the entire Middle East mobilized to counterattack the Bnei Yaakov. Did you know that?
Yeah.
V'chogar Yaakov klei melchama kenegdan. And Yaakov girded himself with what? With a sword and a bow?
Yeah, to make milchama.
To make milchama. This is not in the written Torah.
Mm-hmm.
Rashi quotes a Medrash that Yaakov actually went to war to defend his children from the armies of the Middle East who came to take nekama against what? For the Anshei Shechem. Did you know that?
I read a Midrash that said they ran away.
Well, here Rashi says that they actually went to war.
They went to war. And said, "Look, Abraham, their father, wiped out the three kings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and two sons wiped out this whole city.
All right.
And
well, here Rashi quotes some evidence that he actually went to war. He went to war to defend his family against the nations who were going to take revenge for the Anshei Shechem.
But they ran away.
All right. Now, why we took Miyadu Amori? I took Shechem from the hand of the Amori.
Oh.
Look at the next Rashi. Asher kachti Miyadu Amori.
Amori, yeah.
This, I don't understand this Rashi. Miyad Esav. Amorites.
Mm-hmm.
So Rashi says Miyad Esav. I don't understand. Shechem didn't belong to Esav. Rashi says Miyad Esav. From the hand of Esav, she'osa masa Amori. Esav behaved like an Amorite. I don't understand that. What has Esav got to do with Shechem? Verstehen ich, what Rashi means. Do you have any idea? Verse 22 in the Rashi. Maybe he has a footnote there. In the footnote, that I took from the hand of the Amori, Rashi 22.
Yeah.
That I took from the hand of the Amori. What does Rashi say? From the hand of Esav, who acted like an Amori. What do you got Esav mixed up with Shechem for? What forces Rashi to say that? Amori, they control Shechem. Why do you have to mix an Esav for who acted like an Amori? Does he have any comment on that?
Maybe they just sent some.
Rashi begins that I took from the hand of the Amori. Doesn't say any footnote there?
Verse 22
in the Rashi.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. That starts with because you were going to the trouble of involving yourself in the...
Next.
What?
The end, the last comment on verse 22 in Rashi. The last comment.
Okay. Oh, I got it here.
That I took
from... Which I took from the hand of the Amorite, from the hand of Esav, who did the act of an Amorite.
Stop right there. What? Why? Why is Rashi forced to
Jacob
say that?
Jacob acquired Joseph's extra portion from Esav, for Esav rejected his share in the land of Israel as a result of his rejection of his birthright. And then it said in Bavarishis Rabbah, he acted like the Amorites, the most sinful
Esav acted like the Amori, so he forfeited Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah.
So why Dafke Shechem? All Eretz Yisrael he forfeited. Because he behaved like a lowlife, like the Amori. The Amori, the most wicked, are from the seven nations. Seven wicked, but the most corrupt was the Amorites.
But they were all Canaanites. Is this?
Canaan is the generic term. There were seven nations: Amori, Canaani, Yevusi, Girgashi, Chivi, right?
Yeah, yeah, the Chivi also were.
The Amorites were the worst.
Amori,
that's one of the seven nations that we were supposed to banish.
Amalek.
Well, Amalek is being corrupt. Amalek was...
They weren't here. They weren't in
They were not in the land. We're talking about the seven in the land, right?
They came from another country to attack us.
Right.
That's why they're so evil. They had no reason for it. At least here, these people are fighting for their land. Those people are fighting...
So B'chavi B'kashti, Rashi quotes a medrash that Yaakov actually went to war with his sword and bow to defend his family from a counterattack from the nations, which is not written in the Chumash. Many things are not written in the Chumash. You need the Torah Shabbat Peh to fill in the gaps.
Maybe because he went to battle, that means it's like he did battle, but the Midrash says that they ran away from him. They all ran and left.
Okay. But he said, I conquered it with my sword and my bow. Chag Yaakov Kli Milchama.
They run away.
Right. Now.
They had a huge army.
B'char B'Kashti. Now look at the next pasuk, Aleph. Vayikwa Yaakov El Banav. The last verse on 151. Yaakov called his children. Vayoyim Ben, he said.
Did we answer that question? You had a question.
Which question?
About
we had many questions we had. What?
Why Esau?
Why Esau? What's the connection with Esau?
That's what we're trying to figure
we
out.
We said because Amori is the most corrupt of the seven nations.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Esau wasn't bad enough to act like a Yebusi. He acted like an Amori.
Amori, yeah.
The worst of the seven.
How did he do that? Because
why did he do that? And he's a low life. That Amori is the worst of the seven, the most corrupt.
And Esau was,
like Amori. He wasn't satisfied being a Chivi or a Girgashi, but he acted like the worst of the seven, which is Amori.
Right, really great married women.
That's what the Medrash says. The Amori is the worst of the seven. And Esau acted like the worst of the seven. Fashtay.
You're so bad.
So you have to know this Friday night. Your child asks you, Daddy, why is Esau compared to an Amori? Why not compared to a Jebusite? So you have to tell him. Because the Jebusites were bad, but they're not a bad dude. Amori was the worst of the lot.
That was
compared to relative. Amori was the worst of the lot, and Esau was the worst of the worst. And that's symbolized by being compared to what? An Amori.
Amori, yeah.
That's what the Medrash says.
Can you say that today? That because Esau is
who is Esau? Today is Rome. Yeah, the most corrupt, aren't they?
So I guess
America, don't they abuse little choir boys? They rape children, don't they? The choir, the priests and the fathers, no?
So
all this is coming out now, and all over the world.
America and all this is going to be the most corruptest places in the world, I guess.
I guess, but let's learn. The last verse on 151. You have it? Aleph, Vayikwa Yaakov el Banav. Yaakov called his sons. Vayoyme Hiyosfu. What does Hiyosfu mean? Gather yourself. Vagido Lachem. And I will tell you. See the word Haggadah?
Yeah, Haggadah.
I will tell you, Es Asha Yikra Eschem, what will befall you. Ba'achrit Hayomim. What does Achrit Hayomim mean?
The end of days.
The end of days. Yaakov was about to spill the beans.
Oh boy.
Of when the Talmud says only two people knew the absolute end.
Yeah,
Yaakov and Daniel.
Wow.
Even they knew it would go this long.
They knew. Even the other great Nevi'im. And many,
there's a guy in Yeshiva Daniel, he tells me all his dreams about the Shia.
Talmud says that there are only two that knew the absolute end. The other Nevi'im, there were earlier dates, which, you know, the other Nevi'im, even they weren't sure. And for some reason, it's Yaakov and Doniel. And both were not permitted to spill the beans.
In Megillah...
Go ahead.
It talks about... right at the beginning of Megillah.
Where Megillah mentions that. Yaakov and Daniel. Go ahead.
They were doing... I forget who was doing the Targum. The translations.
Daniel. He translated the handwriting on the wall, no?
And a heavenly voice stopped him.
Yonasan ben Aziel. That's something else.
Yeah.
Right. But anyway, he was going to say Achrit Hayamim. So look at the bottom Rashi.
Yeah,
see the bottom Rashi? Aleph Vayigidol Lachem. The bottom Rashi.
Maybe it's
on 151 in the left column, Yosef. Agidu lechem. Yeah, the one in Rashi Aleph.
Bikesh.
Bikesh legalot et haketz.
Galut.
He wanted legalot to reveal the absolute end.
Mm-hmm. That means
I mean,
that's
the Akrit Hayomim, as it says. The last possible date, the year 6000, hopefully before that. Hopefully before that.
The year 6000.
So that's the end. It's going to be before that.
It has to be by then.
It has to be by then.
People keep on blowing it. It'll be wait until 6000.
Right. Chas v'sholom. That's the actual end. But he's going to reveal. V'nistalko mimenu shechina. And the shechina blocked him, left him. Hischel oimed devarim acherim, and he began to what?
Different
speak
other
the matters.
Then he said the brachas, no?
He gave the brachas. Mm-hmm. Now he did give a hint. Hayosfu. What does osfu mean? Come together, right now. I can't tell you the date, but I can hint to you that when you guys come together and bury the hatchet, not in each other's back, then he'll come.
Yeah.
See the word Ayosfu? Ayosfu, Pasagal, Ayosfu means come together.
That's why the Christian.
Ayosfu means come together.
That's why the Christian wants that we come together.
If you come together and unite, the end will come. Yeah. Even though I cannot reveal, but I'll give you the way it's going to come.
Where is
Hayasu? Look at Pasuk Aleph on page 151. By Yikwa Yaakov El Banav. By Yoime Hayosfu. Unkelus translates, hey, us will come together right now. Mm-hmm. And that will bring Achrit Hayomim. Look how Unkelus translates.
Does that go along with all of us keeping, what, two Shabbos together or something, or three, whatever it is?
One more Shabbos, it seems.
One Shabbos and we'll all be free. Just one Shabbos.
Friday night.
Huh? There's another way you can come.
But the other way, I heard another way.
It's another way you can come.
You can also come if we never get together and we sing Lord and Lord.
No.
God will have to step in and save us.
It'd be like either like
right, like in Mitzrayim, right?
It's going to be bad. We're all going to be bad. I don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have nubbies that say two different things. Some nubbies have a very terrible thing.
Give you a call.
If we go one way, it's going to be hard. Another way,
it's going to be easy. It's going to show us like there's no other way than bad.
Now you have a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfot. Rashi holds that Yaakov was aware what the brothers did
to Yosef, to sell him or whatever.
Take a look at page 152. Might go a little bit over time. Yeah. Page 152, Pasuk Hey. You can talk a whole year here. I hope you have your notebook out here. Page 152, Pasuk Hey. Shimon Belevi Achim. Shimon and Levi are brothers. What do you mean they're brothers? What about the other nine guys? Shimon Belevi Achim. Shimon and Levi are brothers. Klei Hamas. Klei Hamas. Hamas. Kubiki dinki. Weapons of violence. Mechroy Seyem is their trade. Klei Hamas.
Oh, mechor to sell.
Oh, mechroy Seyem is their trade.
They're selling
their Klei Hamas. Weapons of violence. The Pasuk Hey, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look at Rashi's. What do you mean they're brothers? The others 10 were also brothers.
Hey,
look at Rashi. Hey, Shimon Belevi Achim. You with me on this?
Yeah.
What do you mean they're brothers? It means partners in crime. Brothers in crime.
Brothers.
You say partners in crime. The Eitz Achas. They were in the one conspiracy. Al Shem and Al Yosef. They were in the same conspiracy to destroy Shem and to sell Yosef. So Rashi clearly is saying that what? That Yaakov was aware what the brothers did to whom?
To Yosef.
No. They are the ones to conspire, the ringleaders, to destroy Shechem, and the ringleaders to what? To sell brother Joe. Rashi says that clearly, right? Klei Hamas, weapons of violence, says Rashi, of murder. Mm-hmm. And they killed out Shechem, and they learned it from Esav. That's not your business. It should have been Esav's business. Weapons of violence. So here Rashi says that Yaakov was aware what the brothers did to him. Bale Toises disagree. Rashi's Einiklach disagree.
Yeah,
they say something amazing.
They say Yitzchak is was a verb.
They say that Yaakov never found out.
How can both be right?
1 minute. What's the Bale Toises' raya that what? That Yaakov never found out. They argue with Grandpa. Because look what it says on page 149, yeah?
Yitzchak was still alive when that happened.
When the sale, right.
Yeah. And he knew.
He knew what? He knew that the brothers sold him?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I read, he knew
that
he never told Yaakov.
He knew his grandchildren sold him.
Yeah, but he never told Yaakov.
And he said, I can't tell.
Rashi does quote that.
Yeah, at least that he's still alive, maybe he knew. What exactly?
But the Bale Tosfot argue with Grandpa. How could they both be right? Right. How could they both be right? They say that he never found out. What's their proof? Got a pencil? Good. Page 149. Take a look. How you have to analyze the text. 149. Pasuk Aleph. Vahi Achre Dvor Me'el was after these things. After what things?
Yeah.
After Yaakov made Yosef swear, what? That he'll bury him where? And not in Mitzrayim. They'll take him to a Shechem. No, not Shechem. Hebron. After these things, Vayoymele Yosef. Now, before that, look at Pasuk Chof Tes. Vayikwi me Yisrael lamut. You see that? The days of Israel got close to die. Vayikra lebno le Yosef. And he called his son Yosef. Implying that Yosef was not a regular visitor. Because he only came what? When he called him. You see this? You have to analyze the text. Pasichov test. When Israel's day drew near to die, by Yikro lebno le Yosef, he called his son Yosef, implying that he wouldn't have called him, Rabbi Yaakov.
Yeah. He wouldn't have come.
What? Still, you're not convinced. Take a look at Pasuk Aleph. V'yachad vor meile. Again, after these things, vayoymel le Yosef. Again, Yosef doesn't visit his dad. Yosef got a message. Hine avicho chole. Your father is very sick. Vayikach eshnei b'nei av imo, and only now does he come running with his two sons. So again, the Torah is implying, not once but twice, that Yosef did not visit his father. He had to be called first time, and the second time he got an SMS. You better come quick. Your dad is what on his last leg. Without that, he would not have come. Why?
Wanted to stay away.
Says the Bale Tosfos as follows. He didn't want to spend too much time alone with his father. Because his father would say, Joe,
tell me
exactly what happened.
Oh, that's interesting.
We have these minutes alone. Tell me exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to badmouth the brothers.
Wow.
And he didn't want to lie. So he deliberately stayed away from dad. So Bale Tosfos says he never knew what happened. He thought that the PLO kidnapped him, like Gilad Shalit. He never knew it was his own son. They argue with Rashi. Okay.
But they're both right.
They're both right.
They say he didn't know because of how Yosef handled it. But in another way, he did know because maybe he was a Navi and Hashem finally revealed it to him.
Okay, but Yosef never told. Excellent, right. Excellent. Yosef never told, which he would be forced to do if father would get him alone, and he didn't want to lie, he didn't want to be Motzi Shem around the brothers, so therefore he stayed away.
He's dead.
It only came when it was urgent and he was called.
But he did talk on his brothers that they're eating meat.
But he did tshuva, don't you see? Yosef, he learned from his mistakes. Yes. He did speak against them. What's a Baal Tshuva? You don't do the same sin again. The Baal Tshuva is you have the opportunity to do that sin and you don't do it?
He's higher even then.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
Didn't want to make that same sin again, so he deliberately stayed away from dear old dad. Yes. Not to be guilty of Lashon Hara Nachamol. Mm-hmm. How do you say Nachamol? Otam.
Otam.
Nachamol is what?
Yiddish. Otam. Yeah. Yiddish, yeah. Excellent, you'll say what you said, yeah. Okay, so, yeah.
Thank you.
Very good.
You can see how they were both right.
How they're both right. He never told.
So what was the point?
He never told. Excellent. Excellent. Now, the brothers seem to lie at the end of the parsha. Take a look. The brothers seem to lie. But look what they say on page 158. After Yaakov dies.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
After Yaakov dies on page 158. Pasuk Tezvav. Vav. The bottom verse. Vayiru ache Yosef kimeis aviyem. Yosef's brother saw that the father died.
Yeah.
Actually, what do you mean? They just came back from the funeral. There are no extra words in the Torah. What do you mean they saw? They just came back from burying him, it says.
Uh-huh.
So what do you mean the brother saw that the father is dead? Vayomru,
mm-hmm.
And they said, Lu yistameini Yosef. Perhaps Yosef will hate us now. Miller time. Hoshev Yosef lon was kolara, and he will return back on us all the evil. You always say that we bestowed on him.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean they saw?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean they saw?
Yosef say that, so they saw the father dead.
No, they saw that the father was dead. I mean, obviously they saw. The pasuk right before that says they just came back from the funeral. So Rashi's puzzled. Look at Rashi Tezvav. You with me? Excellent. Take a look. Excellent Tezvav. Look at the top Rashi here. Left colleague. With me and again me. The Yosef brother saw that the father was dead.
Right.
What does Rashi ask? Mahu Vayiru.
Wow.
What do you mean they saw? Obviously they saw. They just buried him. He kiro b'misosay etza Yosef. Doesn't mean that they saw physically. They perceived a change in Yosef's behavior since dad died. Shurigilim lisoid al shulchana shal Yosef. When the father was alive, they were regular guests at Joseph's table. Who said there's no free lunch?
Mm-hmm.
When the dad was alive, they were regular. Ragil in Hebrew means regular. They were regular guests at Joseph's table. And he would bring them close because that gave covet to his father. Once Yaakov died, Loi Karavan, he no longer extended a dinner invitation to them.
Mm-hmm.
So they perceived a change in Joseph's behavior since dad died, so they're afraid that what?
That he's going to be
now will be Miller time. So they lie. How come he stopped inviting them?
Because.
So they thought it's sinister motives.
Mm-hmm.
Shamshon Fulhurst says, no, it's the way of the world. When a father is alive, the brothers are closer.
Mm-hmm.
You see my own family like that. When a father's alive, the brother, once a father dies, they just naturally drift apart.
Yeah.
But they had a guilty conscience.
Mm-hmm.
So they attributed sinister motives. Yosef says, Shamshon Fulhurst, that's the way of the world. When a father dies, siblings are no longer as close as they once were.
Yeah.
But so there's some other reasons too.
Of course. I'm giving you one. There's 69 others, okay?
Because some of them just say because of the situation in Egypt at the time.
Well, right.
Yosef had...
There's a comment in here.
Go ahead.
And from Tanhumi Yashan. After Jacob's death, the Egyptians began the subjugation of the Israelites. As Rashi stated above, Joseph was worried that if he were to show favoritism towards his brothers, he would endanger them by increasing the Egyptians' hostility towards them.
There are many reasons, but they, with their guilty conscience, saw it differently.
But that was one. That was one. This is two. No.
There are 68 other reasons.
But you know, I still don't understand even with that reason, or if that's the reason, one like it is supposed to be, then why wouldn't Yosef say, look, I don't want you guys to get hurt, but I have to back off?
I don't know. I don't know. Why didn't he explain himself?
Explain
I don't know.
It to him.
I don't know.
He was good explaining everything earlier.
Yeah.
Maybe he got him in trouble.
He was afraid they would
they
talk. Maybe he was afraid they would talk.
Maybe, you know, in their frame of mind, they would not accept an explanation.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a booba mind, so you're telling me.
No. Yeah, you're like, sure.
Yeah, sure. Tell me another one.
Did Yosef accept what the brothers said when they came to
him? Let's take a look. So they lie. Look what they say. Pasuk Tes Zayin. Vayitzavu la Yosef leimor. They send an email to Yosef saying, Avicha tziva lifnei Moisei leimor. Your father commanded before he died the following message. What's the message?
Not to take revenge.
Koi simul Yosef, thus shall you say to Yosef, Ana, please, Sana, please forgive, twice please, Pesha Checha, the transgression of your brothers, the Chatosa.
Yeah, Jacob didn't know.
Jacob didn't know.
So he knew it's enough.
So according to Rashi, he did know. How did the Balatoysos rear this?
Well, Joseph never told.
That's a Bubba Meister. It's a Bubba Meister. One minute. Did Yaakov really command this? Please forgive the terrible sin and transgression of Chatosam of your brothers. Kirol Gemolcha, because they bestowed only evil on you. Vata now, Sono. Again, please forgive Lepesha Abde Le'avicha. Please forgive the transgression of the servants. They are servants of the God of your father. Vayek Yosef bedavamele. Yosef cried when they got this message. Mm-hmm. Now, Rashi said this was a Bubba Meisim.
They made this up.
Right? They made this up. Yaakov never commanded such a thing, says Rashi. Because Yaakov never would suspect. Remember, Rashi's opinion is that he did know. That he would never suspect of brother Joe of taking revenge. Look at Rashi of Ichotiva. Take a look. Your father commanded.
Mm-hmm. He never suspected that it's
Joseph. He never suspected that Yosef would take revenge. Look at Rashi of Ichotiva. Rashi's opinion is that he did know. Rashi's opinion is that he did know. And even if he did know, look at Rashi of Ichotiva. Shina b'davim ne'a shalom. They changed the truth because of shalom. Ki lo tzivo Yaakov came. Even though Rashi's opinion is that he did know, Yaakov never would give such a command. Shalai nechshad Yosef be'einav. He never for one moment suspected brother Joe of what?
To take
revenge. Yeah. So there was no need for this phony message. But they were allowed to say a lie. When it comes to preserve shalom, you're allowed to lie.
Yeah,
according to Bala Tosfos, he never knew. So the whole thing was a lie from A to Z. And why did Yosef cry? Yeah. Why did Yosef cry, Abraham, when he got this message?
Yeah, he understood that the big brothers.
Why did Yosef cry when he got this
because
message?
Because he has brothers that's lying to him.
That look how pathetic they are. They have to lie. After all the years of kindness, they can still think that I would take revenge. How pathetic.
But he tells them that right off the bat when they come.
Yeah.
Don't worry, Hashem did this to me. It wasn't
So why is he crying?
Well, because the father was alive and he made
why is he crying? Nun.
No, but I think he was sincere.
Nun 17.
All this happened so he could provide
Nun 17.
They don't know what's behind his mind.
Yeah.
No, but that's what he said. You can only get
by whatever I'll tell you, you'll believe.
Nobody. He said that, and then he's invited to the table all the time.
Yeah, because the father was alive.
No, but
once the father wasn't alive.
You know why he cried?
But the father wasn't there, so if the father didn't see him together.
The Gemara in Yuma says that towards the end of the Second Temple, before the high priest went into the Holy of Holies to Sanhedrin, made him swear that he would not do the service like a tzedoki.
Yeah.
At the end of the Second Temple, the Kohuna Gedoyla was infested with tzedokim. So the Sanhedrin made the high priest swear that he would not conduct the service like a tzedoki. And it says that he cried and they cried. Mm-hmm. The high priest cried and they cried. So the Gemara says why? If you suspect someone of improper behavior and it's wrong, you have to cry. So Yosef cried for the same reason the Sanhedrin cried. Or Yosef, why did the high priest cry? that you suspected me of being a tzedoki?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Yosef cried, you guys can suspect me of taking revenge? I'm an Adam Kosher. If you suspect a righteous person of improper behavior, you have to cry. The righteous person has to cry too. So the Gemara in Yuma says that's why Yosef cried. Because they accused him of taking revenge and bearing a grudge. It never entered his mind. If you accuse an innocent person of improper behavior, you have to cry, and the person being accused has to cry. You can think so low of me. That's the opinion you have of me. Boo!
Rabbi Shraver?
Go ahead.
If a Sadoki was doing the temple service, like a Yom Kippur, wouldn't he just drop dead anyway?
So that's the point. The covet was so great.
Stop correcting. So
they wanted to die.
Why did he want us to die?
What?
Why
did
he didn't want the poor guy to die. He didn't want a yid to die. You're right. The tzedoki would die. So Hetton didn't want a yid to die.
They knew they were going to die.
No, but
they would still do the service.
But they didn't do it right, though, when you were...
They changed the service. They would die. So Hetton didn't want a yid to die.
But not only didn't want him to die, but they want the service done right.
That's right.
There's consequences.
If he doesn't do it right, he drops dead and you get another guy.
But they avoid this puzzle.
No, but...
Then you do it again. You
do it again.
But he wanted to do it right.
There's a tragedy a high priest to die. It's a great tragedy for Israel.
Yeah.
Except for the people in the
Yerobiklot. For them it's a release.
there you go.
every cloud has a silver lining.
How can you explain this phenomena where this guy knows he's going to die for doing
so? Before I should say, look how great covet is. Person willing to die for covet. Yeah. Person would literally give his life for covet.
Is it covet afterwards?
Covet.
No, but you would think I'm going to die.
He was the high priest of Israel.
But he's still the high priest. Yeah. You would think, wow, the guy before me died doing that.
People die for covet.
But they're still the high priest.
Right.
They're still the high priest.
Uh-huh.
Until they drop dead.
Yeah. No, but if I was a high priest, I'm thinking, if I'm a high priest and I see all these sentences dying every time they do it, I think, I better go with the Pharisees this time.
Yeah, right. But that just shows what the power deeds are, right?
When they used to believe in something, they used to do it. Now we believe in something and we do something else.
Now, Yosef never said, I forgive you. Take a look what he says to them. Look at Pasuk Yutes on page 159.
159.
Yosef. Yosef says to them, Al tiro, don't be afraid. Ki asachas elehim ani, am I in the place of God? I won't punish you, implying that what?
He doesn't take revenge.
That God will punish you. Look at the words. Yoyim elehim Yosef. Al tiro, don't be afraid. I'm not going to punish you.
Ki asachas
elehim ani, am I in place of God?
Mm-hmm.
It's up to God to punish you.
If he wants.
Right?
They have been punished to see
the God's going to use you.
Right? Right? I won't punish you, implying that he will in his good time, centuries later, right?
Yeah.
The 10 martyrs, Rabbeinu Bachya, the Zohar. Look at Pasuk Kaf. Va'atem chashavtem alai ra. You conspired evil against me. Elohim chashava letova. But God turned it around for good. Leman asai kayoim hazeh, in order to do this day, l'achiyos amrav, to save alive many people. If you guys would not have sold me to Egypt, the entire Middle East would have perished in famine. So even though you guys meant evil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant it l'toiva. So what's the message for us? That anything that evil happens to a person, there's some hidden good there.
Yeah, but they really
even though we don't see it right.
They were doing a mitzvah. They thought they were doing a mitzvah.
How come he says evil? You guys considered it evil.
Well,
Hashem considered it tight.
They didn't consider it evil at the time. Now they consider it evil.
Okay.
But they see the whole picture now. They thought they were doing a mitzvah.
Okay.
We've got 9 guys here. And Hashem,
In
the court, this guy's guilty.
Am I right? Now look what he told them, Pasuk Aleph. Now don't be afraid. See, the word now is superfluous. Rabbi Yaakov, there are no extra words in the Torah. He should have said, don't be afraid. Yeah. How come he says now, don't be afraid? Do you see the hints why there had to be 10 martyrs? Rabbi Yosef, it's shocking. What's the word now?
Now you have to be afraid.
Well, why is the word just say, don't be afraid?
Yeah, right, okay.
What's the word now, don't be afraid?
Yeah, right, so
now, don't be afraid.
Later.
But why there'll come a time when you will be afraid.
Be afraid.
Yeah,
don't
yeah.
you see, it's incredible. Mm. You pick up on the hints over here. Why there had to be 10 martyrs centuries later? They're neshamas. After and now, the word now seems to be superfluous. There ain't no extra letter in the Torah. Mm-hmm. So here the Zohar picks up on this. But after and now, don't be afraid. Implying that later on,
you should be afraid.
There will be
Nebuch.
Yeah, the slavery of
10 martyrs who are going to be tortured to death.
10 amazing rabbis.
The 10 neshamas. After and now, al tiro.
Years later, huh?
Centuries later. How many? Not thousands, but figure it out. 2,000 years ago, and this was 3,700 years ago.
1,700
years later. God has a long memory. Va'ata and now. Now. Rabbi Yaakov,
well, him it is now.
You mentioned this to Chava. Why is the word now not... How do they translate?
Wow.
17.
So now, fear not.
What do you mean now? What's the word now? It's now or never. The word now is superfluous. No, it's not. Can you mention this to Chava, please? Don't give it the answer right away.
Really? That's what Gilgals are. You're getting... You're having to...
Va'ata now, Altiro. Now don't be afraid. Implying there'll come a time you have to be afraid. I will support you, and your children, he consoled them, and he spoke to the heart, he calmed them down. Okay? And Yosef died before any of the other brothers. Look at Pasuk Chavet, Vayeshev Yosef in Mitzrayim. Yosef dwelled in Mitzrayim, who were based on it, and he Yosef made Esher Shonim. All the other brothers lived to 120. Except Levi lived even longer. And Yosef died 110 years. The Gemara says because he heard his father as referred to as Eved, and he didn't protest. He heard Yehuda referred to his father 10 times.
His servant.
Sir, and he didn't. So he lost 10 years of his life.
Yeah, but if he objected, he would have blown his cover.
Okay, so he should have.
I also heard that.
What is he supposed to do?
Okay.
Also heard because of all the stress and business he was doing in Pharaoh.
Yeah.
How do you answer that?
He should have been found a way. Don't refer to your father there. He could have made up a story.
But you know, in Egypt, 110 was the perfect age.
Okay. And Yeshua ben Nun also lived. His grandson also lived 110.
What was the story with the 10 stones? I did not get this point.
Asar Ruge Malchus. Don't you remember the ten martyrs who were executed by the Romans?
Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi
Akiva and his colleagues. They were
good. The
Romans did.
You read it in Tisha B'Av and Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. You read it.
Right?
And Tisha B'Av.
And Tisha B'Av also.
You read it on Yom Kippur because the sale of Joseph took place on Yom Kippur. The Zohar says the sale of Joseph took place when? So therefore, on Yom Kippur, you read the Asore Ruge Malchus, who are the reincarnation of the 10 brothers. And you read that account on Yom Kippur because the sale of Brother Joe took place when? And the Zohar says that's why you take off your shoes. Because they, what do they do with the money? So you take off your shoes on Yom Kippur.
Wow.
Why weren't they fasting on that day?
Torah wasn't given yet.
Right. I thought they were trying to
keep the seven, go to heaven, right?
Why weren't they? What on that day?
Fasting. It was Yom Kippur.
Who wasn't fasting?
The 10 brothers. I was just wondering why. You know, they were trying to keep the Torah all the time. I was just wondering. That was a Yom Kippur was a fast day.
Well, they didn't keep kidnapping. That's one of the seven Noahai laws. You can't kidnap a human being. That they didn't keep. So they're going to keep Yom Kippur.
No, but they didn't think they did kidnap.
But they did kidnap him.
Well, there were consequences, but they ruled they weren't.
Kidnapping is against the Noahide religion, you know that?
Because they didn't think they were doing something right because they said they're not going to say to the father.
So why did they just tell the father what they did? Why did they have to cover up and give him a bloody coat?
You can't tell your
father. We did the right thing. We did the right thing. What?
You can't say it's right. If you need a lie or hide, something's wrong.
Yeah, obviously they felt...
they didn't want their father hurt by it all.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The other brother lived to 120.
One of them was 132.
That's the lady. But the others died at 120. And he heard from his brothers 10 times, referring to Yaakov as your slave, and he didn't protest. 10 times. Okay. Any questions, comments?
Very good.
Thank you very much.